Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Okay, good evening. This is welcome to PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. This evening, we have Steve anchoring, and in a moment, he'll be coming on. And his guest this evening is Karen Hanger. But before we get started, I'd like to say hello to my co-host. And I know that Steve's not able to say back, so I'll go with Carmen. Hello, Carmen.
Hi, guys. Hey, Maureen. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well. Battling a little tiny cold. Just a tiny one.
Well, I think everybody kind of is a little bit tonight. That's why we all sound like
I know. I think we're all starting to get winter depression now. Anyway, nice to have you on the show as well. Thanks.
Okay. No, I'm not here. Well, Carmen, could you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do?
Oh, I'm a psychic and I'm an empath, and I tend to take a more of a rational approach in terms of trying to strategize and create incentives in relationship and analyze people so that you can understand what you would like to do to improve a relationship as a telepath.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you. And I think, hi, Steve, are you here and back with us?
Yes, Maureen, can you hear me?
Oh. You sound just lovely. Yes,
oh,
take it away.
I have a cold, and I don't know why my sound wouldn't work from home. I was chatting away about the show and Karen Hager joining us, and then realized that you couldn't hear me. Well, it's good to be here, and thank you for stepping in there for me, Maureen. And as you're with us, Maureen, go ahead and tell our listeners about your work.
Well, I do dishes, I vacuum, I'm a psychic, empath, tarot reader, and I've been doing my work for, oh gosh, I'm going to date myself, 25 years, something like that, and I work at PsychicAccess.com with the links, all of my co-hosts, and I love what I do.
Well, we love having you with us, Maureen. It's always fun. Thank you for that. And Stephen, how are you?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, how are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, how are you?
Okay. I'm very paranoid now, thinking that the gods of technology are going to strike me down.
They seem to be at work for sure today.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a Mayan curse or what, but I'm doing very well. Excited to hear your guest tonight. As always, your shows are a treat for the intellect, and I'm excited about tonight.
Thank you, Stephen. Well, go ahead and tell our guests about your work.
Sure, thank you very much. I work at Psychic Access as a tarot reader and a medieval astrologer, and I specialize in relationship issues, life direction issues, and also career and financial issues. And I love what I do.
Great. Well, we love having you with us as well, Stephen. It's going to be a good show. We've got a wonderful guest. I'm going to introduce Karen Hager in a moment, but let me tell you a little bit about her before Karen joins us. She's an internationally acclaimed intuitive guide and psychic channel. She uses her ability to read from the energy of the human voice and connects with people wherever they happen to be, helping them to gain clarity about their next steps, their soul path, their relationships, and much more. I know that Karen believes that time and distance are no barrier to energy.
Hello.
We're all connected, and that we're tapping into this connection in a wonderful way.
No, it's okay.
And she's also very compassionate, very direct, lighthearted, and enjoys her work. If you'd like to read about Karen's work, you can visit her website, KarenHager.com, and
no
Hager
problem.
Is spelled H-A-G-E-R. That's KarenHager.com. Well, Karen, welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. I'm glad to be here.
It's wonderful to have you with us, Karen. I was really looking forward to interviewing you this evening. How are you?
I'm very happy, and I just heard the tail end of what somebody was saying about technological difficulties. I have experienced in the last couple of weeks unbelievable interference with all of my technology. So I'm glad to hear it's not just me.
Well, it's interesting because apparently there were some very powerful solar flares, and often those solar flares affect what's going on planet Earth. And there were comments on a radio show I was listening to. The host was explaining that the connection between the solar flares and the dreadful typhoon or hurricane in the Philippines.
Oh, very interesting. Are they done now? May we be done with this, with that
well,
particular
they,
solar flare?
No, they're not. And I even read, Karen, some research about a correlation between the number of solar flares and hip fractures in human beings. Can you believe that?
Isn't that interesting? Do you know, I almost can, because in my experience, when the energy gets all wacky, like it is right now, now that's my scientific term, right? When the energy gets all wacky, like it is right now, a lot of times we are not always centered in our physical bodies, and it makes it much, much easier for us to fall over. We're distracted. For example, our phones aren't working properly, our computers aren't working, our phones aren't working. We're distracted, and it makes it much more likely that we actually will have accidents. So I do truly kind of correlate that strange energy, that feeling weird, feeling disconnected, and our ability to sort of walk into walls and fall over.
Well, you be careful. We want you to stay with us. Well, Karen, let me ask you first of all, can you explain to us how you began connecting with your intuitive abilities?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I've been weird since I was a kid. So ever since I was little, I knew that I was able to see things that other people couldn't see and hear things other people couldn't hear, and I knew things that I wasn't supposed to know. I always knew where the Christmas presents were hidden, which was a wonderful, and it's funny because now as an adult working professionally, I'm terrible at lost objects. I can't find lost objects, not mine, not anybody else's, but there you go. When I was a kid, I knew where the Christmas presents were hidden. And I realized at a very early age that this thing that I had was different from what other people had, and that it made me weird. And I didn't want to be weird. I really wanted to fit in. I wanted everybody to like me. I didn't want to get in trouble. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. And so what I did was I, on purpose, switched it off. I swallowed it. I shoved it down. I tried to not pay any attention to my gifts. And of course, whenever there's something we're supposed to deal with that we don't deal with, it always finds a way to surface, right? It always comes up and you know, sneaks up behind you. And so what happened was that through my growing up years, I had some rather frightening things happen because I was not in control of my intuition. I was not in a relationship with my guides. I was not using psychic protection. I was not setting good boundaries. And so I got scared a lot of times by what I would see or know, and it felt to me like it came right out of the blue. It wasn't until I was about 42 years old, Steve, that I had a series of events. I did a lot of things. I worked as an actor. I went to seminary and was preparing for ordination to the priesthood in the Episcopal Church. I felt very strongly called out of that path to a deeper calling, a deeper path of counseling, of being with people, of sharing the love of the divine, but I didn't know what that was. And when I was about 42 years old, I had a big physical health crisis, and I had 3 surgeries in 1 year. I had a little surgery and a kind of medium-sized one and a big one. And what happened was that after each one of those, when I came out of it, my intuition was much stronger than it had been before. And by the time I got done with the last surgery, which was a very big one, a big, scary, life-changing surgery, I realized that I had either a problem or an opportunity on my hands. I could either ignore everything and try as hard as I could to suppress this all again and just go back to the way I was, or I could roll with it. I could say yes. I could take this chance to take everything that I'd learned about, oh my gosh, theology and counseling and creativity and work, the workings of the human heart, and put that together with my intuition and say yes. So I said yes, Steve, thinking that I was probably insane and not having any idea what would happen to me. And when I said yes, my entire life changed. And that's not an exaggeration. I went and found a teacher and began to work on developing my intuition. And when I got to the end of my first class with him, I said, what do you think I should do next? Thinking he'd say, you know, take another class or buy this magic crystal or here, read this book. And he said, you should print business cards. And I was just loopy enough that I said, okay, I took it like a dare. Oh, yeah, psychic boy, you think I should print this? I'll print business cards. I'll show you. And I did. And that's kind of what started me on this path of where now I've worked with thousands of private clients, and I'm teaching classes, and I'm traveling all over the place, and I'm on the radio. Everything changed when I said yes to my intuition. And when I stopped fighting, stopped swallowing it, stopped suppressing my gift. I feel a little bit sad for the years that I didn't use it, right? But I'm glad I said yes when I did.
It's interesting that you explain that, Karen, because I think a lot of people with a natural ability do switch that off as they grow older, as they become more acclimatized to society and society's expectations. And also as they go through the education system and are told to be more right-brained. So do you believe that everybody is psychic?
I absolutely believe that we are all, every single one of us, and I mean without exception, that our intuitive ability is part of our connection to what I think of as home, right? That's part of our connection to spirit. That's part of connection to the one, to the divine light, to source, whatever words you want to put around it. So each one of us, when we come into these physical bodies, we bring with us, I imagine it like a little pilot light, a little flame, a little intuitive flame with us. And we are meant to be using our intuition, all of us, to connect more fully with our experience as human beings in these physical bodies, in this incarnation, on this plane, at this time, and to maintain that connection to spirit so that we can live in a way that is as joyful, is as integrated, is as beneficial to us as possible while we are in these bodies. What happens, and you can see it happening in children, Steve, I was lucky enough to do a lot of work with children teaching acting and improvisation and stuff in classrooms, and working especially with elementary school kids. You can see when kids get to about age 7 or 8, it's almost like you watch a light go out behind their eyes. And the imagination starts to die. Their willingness to be silly, right, to really go all out there and do something wacky, that kind of dies. And you start to see them turn into little adults. You start to see them not use that imagination, not value it as much. And when that light goes out, a lot of times that's the same time that we're closing the door on our intuition. It isn't, I work with a lot of students, Steve, who are working on rediscovering that little flame, opening the door to their intuition. And I find that a lot of times it isn't until we are in our 30s or 40s, we're in established careers, we feel like we should be very successful, but something's missing, there's an insight missing, and we want it, but we don't know how to quantify that, we don't know how to reach for it. That's when people start to think, I wonder what I'm missing. Remember when I was a kid and I knew what was going to happen before it happened? Or remember how I could see light and color around someone? Remember when my grandmother, who was in spirit, came and talked to me? Remember that? Why can't I get that back? And see, we never lose that intuitive connection. It cannot be broken or beaten out or starved out or snuffed out. It is always there. We take that with us when we leave our body because it's part of what connects us to who we really are. So what I'm very passionate about is helping everyone connect with the way in which they have intuitive ability. Is everyone psychic like they're going to go and be a professional intuitive and that's their life's path? No, very few people are, but everybody has access to intuition that they can use to enrich their life in their own way.
And Karen, how can a person really tune into their psychic ability?
There are many different ways, many different tools. The easiest way to start is to get quiet. And boy, do we run from that, right? Because there's so much noise, there's so much, we run from thing to thing like little frightened rabbits darting around. We often avoid the very thing that will take us into deeper connection with what I call our divine connection. We avoid the thing that will take us into deeper connection with source, with spirit, with our own intuitive light. The first thing that you can do if you want to begin to get in touch with your intuition is set aside a little time each day, and by a little time I mean like 30 seconds, to get quiet and try to bring yourself as much into the present moment as you can. That means be very aware of you being in your body at this time. Be very aware of what's around you, what you hear, what you see, what you smell. That moment of mindfulness, and it's hard for people to hold that. 30 seconds is a long time when you're trying to stay in the present. That simple practice that you can try any place begins a path, opens a door to a greater connection with your intuition, can open, if you choose, a relationship with your guides, can give you the key to begin to unlock the meaning of your dreams, and it goes on and on from there. That first step on the journey is to allow yourself to be quiet. And when you're coming from a place of fear, as I was for so many years, even as someone who was in seminary, even someone preparing for a religious vocation, right, I avoided quiet because I knew that I was suppressing so much stuff that I was afraid if I got quiet, Steve, it would all kind of come rushing back and I'd have to deal with it. And I think a lot of people avoid quiet for exactly that reason. The truth is that in that quiet, in that little 30 seconds, you actually get to slow down and relax. It's a beautiful, beautiful feeling. So, but we avoid it because we're afraid we're going to be blindsided. At some deep level, we know we're supposed to be dealing with our intuition, and yet we avoid it. And there's no need to be afraid. Just get quiet. That's the very first step.
I agree with you, Karen. I think that taking time to be still, to really tune in, is so important. But I know that you always advocate and teach a daily spiritual practice. How does that fit into the picture?
I'm a nut about daily spiritual practice. In fact, if I'm trying to remember where that is. If people go to KarenHager.com and you look right on the front page of the website, it says something like, hey, have a free daily spiritual practice audio. You can download for free an audio class that I taught to help people jumpstart their daily spiritual practice. I'm nuts about this because, again, when I was at that place, Steve, where I said yes, okay, whatever, I'm going to go with it, right? I knew I needed to bring some structure into my spiritual practice so that I was going somewhere, right? I wasn't just running around like a crazy person. There was structure. I needed to order my development, and one of the things that daily spiritual practice does for you is gives you a touchstone every day, a time when you come back to remember, even if it is only for 30 seconds, come back to and remember your true nature, your divine nature. Our time on this planet is so odd because we bring immortal, infinite energy and we pour it into these frail, finite, physical bodies, right? Part of why we're here, I believe, is because we are meant to be finding, experimenting with that sweet spot between our mortality and our immortality, between the physical and the spiritual, between the things we can see and touch and feel and taste, and those things which we cannot quantify in that way. And our daily spiritual practice brings us in touch every day with the essence of who we are. Now, that doesn't have to be wear the special expensive yoga pants and sit on the mat and ring the bell. For some people, meditation and prayer are wonderful ways in to daily spiritual practice. But you have to start where you are, as with everything else. So as we begin spiritual practice, you take a look at what are you doing that brings you joy. Because spiritual practice is not just about getting quiet and prayerful and have a serious look on your face. Your connection with the divine is about joy and playfulness and love. So what do you do that brings you joy? I have a client who runs and runs competitively, is a professional athlete. Her daily spiritual practice is the running that she does very early in the morning, because in that space she's able to be fully in her body and in a way feels lifted out and can engage with the divine. I use prayer and meditation for my daily spiritual practice. I also knit. And I'm a terrible knitter, Steve. I'm slow and I make mistakes and it doesn't. At the end, it looks like some kind of savage monkey has been knitting something. And yet, for me, this is why I don't post pictures. People are always on Facebook, post pictures of what you're making. No, I don't think that's a good idea, really, for anyone. But for me, the knitting, the feel of the yarn in my hands, the motion of my hands with the needles, frees me up to lift my soul up a little bit, to connect with the divine. It's very meditative for me. So daily spiritual practice doesn't just mean, hey, on your knees and light a candle and start now, or sit cross-legged and do the meditation thing. It can be chanting, singing, dancing. A very famous monk, Brother Lawrence, a very famous saying says that when he sweeps the floor in the monastery, that is his prayer, is to sweep the floor. You can do your housework as a daily spiritual practice if you will allow yourself to be engaged, if you will allow that mindfulness, that awareness of the present moment, to then open it up and enhance your spirituality. So to me, daily spiritual practice is everything. It's almost the answer to every question. When I work with clients who are feeling like, I work a lot with people who are in transition, and a lot of times, especially these days, it's people who have been very successful at something like a career and that's been taken away from them, or have had what they felt was a very successful relationship and now that relationship has come to an end, and they feel lost, and they're completely at sea, and they don't know what to do, and there's nothing to hang on to. And one of the first things I ask them to do is, please just take 15 seconds, 5 seconds. Can you do 5 seconds of just being quiet? When we come into these bodies, Steve, we come in with spiritual help available. That connection that we have to the divine is always on. There are no extra points awarded for going it alone. Right? We don't get extra points at the end if we never, ever use our intuition, if we never call on our guides, if we never pray, if we never connect with the divine. That just makes our human life harder. You can totally do it that way if you want to. You probably won't have a very good time, and it's going to seem very limiting and very difficult for you, but you can. But there's no reason not to use this factory-installed, always-on divine connection to enhance your life, to give you greater clarity and connection.
Well, talking about connection, a lot of people ask how they can get to know their guides, or who are my guides, what's my guide's name, what do they look like, etc. How can you advise people to connect with their guides, Karen?
Oh, wonderful. Well, I think you should have a daily spiritual practice, because it helps open up that conversation with the guides. One of the most fun ways to connect with your guides, I believe, is to ask a question. This is part of your guides often are the first way that you begin to experience your intuition, right? They're going to help you. They can help bring messages through. I imagine my main guide, who I work with when I'm working intuitively, either with a person or within a group, I imagine my main guide is kind of like a United Nations interpreter guy, right? So he's got like the little clipboard and the little headset with the microphone, you know, that goes around. And the reason that I see him that way is because he is taking energy, essence, message from the divine, and bringing it to me in a way through my body, through my imagination, through my physical being, so that I can understand it and then speak it, right? So it is through our guides that we begin to interpret the intuition that we are experiencing or beginning to experience. So one of the most fun ways to start that connection with your guides is to ask a silly question and wait for a response. So I try to always keep it very light and very playful. Your guides are light and playful too, by the way. Everything that comes from spirit is given in great love. Even if that's something that maybe you don't want to hear, it will always come in great love, okay? So ask a playful question. And ask a question that you can verify the answer to. So an example of that is that you might get quiet and you might say, guides, is the mail here yet? And then you wait to see how you feel. You want to find out what a yes is for you and what a no feels like for you. So you wait to see how you feel. Do you get a little tingle? Do you get a feeling of yes? Do you get a special, what for me a yes is a little sound like a ding, like if you kind of clink on a crystal glass, right? Ding, like that, that's my yes, that is my no. Do you have a sound? Do you see something? Do you know something? Is there a feeling in your body? So ask your silly question, is the mail here yet? Wait to see until you think you've got a yes or a no, and then get off your rear end and go see if the mail came, right? You want to ask the question, allow a response, and then verify it, because you have to validate for yourself that you're not just talking to yourself. You're not just making it up, right? People ask me all the time, what's the difference between intuition and imagination? See, without imagination, we would have no way to express our intuition, right? So even if you think you're making up the answer, get up and see if you're right. What happens is over time you ask more questions, you get more used to receiving answers, your guides jump up and down in joy, hooray, she's listening to us, yay, right? And you move forward from there. Our guides, I believe, and there's a blue million people teaching about guides, not everyone experiences their guides in the way that I do, but in my experience and through the years that I've been doing this work, I believe that our guides are beings who have at one time had physical incarnations, who have chosen to not be in the physical, to be of service to other souls who are doing the physical incarnation, who are in Earth school, as my friend would say. Most of us have one or two main guides who come in with us when we come in. Sometimes they're called master guides. They come in with us when we come in, and many times they leave with us when we leave, right? They stay with us all the way, womb to tomb, as they say, right? All the way. But we have many other guides available to us who come in and out as they are needed. I know that I have guides around writing. I have guides around speaking. I have guides around teaching, I have guides around parenting, I have physical healing guides who work with me sometimes. So there are many guides available to you. Usually people have one or two main guides who stay with them all the time. The way they look, their appearance, and their gender, and their name, at least as I understand it, and you'll find people who are teaching differently, but as I understand it, their appearance and their gender has to do with how can they show themselves to you so that you understand why the heck they're there and what they can help you with. So when I connect with a guide, if I'm reading for someone and they say, what do my guides look like to you? What does it sound like? What are they there for? I may say something like, you're showing me a guide who is presenting as male, because, of course, as non-human energetic beings, they don't have physical gender. This guide is presenting as male. He is holding, let's say, a shovel in one hand. He's got a big farmer hat on, and he's showing me that he's the one who's here to help you bring now to fruition all the seeds that you've planted. He's the one who's here to teach you about growth, about nourishing growth, about moving in a more organic way into your life, right? Your guide may change appearance and even name as you go forward in your life, but the essence of that guide, if it's a master guide, will not ever change. I worked recently with a woman who's a developing medium, and I was mentoring her, and we were talking about guides and what they do, and she was telling me that her guide who came to her when she was, I'm not going to share the guide's name, that doesn't feel quite right, but when she was working with a guide who came to her as a child, she gave it a very childish name, a name that doesn't make sense, not a name that you would give a person. And over the years, although the appearance of the guide has changed to her, as she has changed, she's kept that name. Other times, people will come up with a name for their guide and then change it because it doesn't feel right. The name is for us. The appearance is for us. The gender is for us. The essence of the guide is what's important. They will appear in such a way that we can understand who they are.
I love it, Karen. I love it. Really wonderful.
Good, I'm glad. You know, I think maybe the other thing I want to say about names is that I've had, you know, I do that radio show because you've been on the radio show, and people, I've had readers on the show, callers will call and they'll say, what's my guide's name? And the psychic who's reading will be able to say, your guide's name is, you know, Jimmy, and your guide's name is Methuselah, and your guide's name is Sparkle. And that for me is a gift that I don't seem to have. And when I've asked my own guides, hey, how come I can't do the name the guide thing that the other people are doing? The answer that they give me is that the name is for the person to discover, in their view, right?
I like the way you've said that, because I feel that it's such a personal relationship that it is something that we're meant to gradually discover ourselves.
Mm-hmm. And at least the names of, I don't discuss the names of my guides because I keep those private, not because it's magic, but because it has meaning for me, right? That's part of the sacredness of the relationship I have with my guides. But the names that my guides have mean something to me, and it doesn't matter if they mean anything to anybody else or not. That's my name, right? When I call out for my guides, it means something that I'm using that name. And so I think it can be very powerful for someone to discover the name of their guides. And the way you can do that is by asking, right? There are all kinds of guided meditations. I teach one, and there's a blue million. If you Google meet your guide meditations, there's a trillion of those. But one of the best ways to do it is to get yourself into a meditative state, which is helped, of course, by establishing a good daily spiritual practice. So you get yourself into a good meditative state, and you can imagine yourself in a very beautiful, peaceful place. Sit on a bench, leave room beside you, and see who walks up to sit next to you, right? Start asking questions, have a conversation. Sometimes in my classes, it is indeed people who look like humans who come up and introduce themselves as guides. Sometimes you may perceive your guide as an animal, a color, a sound, moving light. There are no limits, because in our divine essence, there are no limits to our energy. So our guides don't always have to be old men in white robes, right? You know, mumbling into their beards and looking at very big books. There is no limit to the way that our guides can appear to us. So connect and ask your guide their name.
Thank you, Karen. Well, we're going to take a short break, Karen, and then we'll continue our discussion.
Wonderful. Thank you.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Karen. I want to ask you a little bit about fear, Karen, because I know that some people get a little bit scared when they start to tap into their intuitive abilities. Why do you think that is?
I think you're very right. That is something that people, especially people who are beginning, often say to me is, I don't know what's going to happen. Part of it is just that it's the unknown. Part of it is because of that thing where we have suppressed it for so long that we're a little afraid of what will happen. And some of it, Steve, honestly, I think is the way that the media portrays things like psychic ability, the way that the media portrays things like paranormal phenomenon. There's a very odd, I don't even know the right word to use for this, there's a very odd negative slant to what's on TV now and what's in the popular media about psychic abilities. There are people out there doing wonderful work, uplifting work. There are so many people coming forward right now. It's like a wonderful army of light workers, really, helping lift people up and awaken their intuition. But for someone who hasn't been exposed to that, and all they see is what's on, let's say, a cable television channel on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night, they may think that when they open up to their intuitive abilities, they will be possessed by demons. They will wake up in the middle of the night and see dead people standing over them and not have any tools to deal with that, right? That they may be, all of a sudden things might start moving around their house, and then they're going to have to call in a team of investigators to come and help them. When the truth is that nothing could be safer or more natural than connecting with your own intuitive ability in the way that's right for you. That's why I'm such a big believer in teaching in an experiential way. Because if you're just starting out, Stephen, boy, believe me, I know you're not just starting out, but if you're just starting out, somebody who's just starting out, and you have no idea what to expect, if I can give you a safe space to explore your intuition, to experiment with it, and for yourself, get that validation, like I was saying, check to see if the mail came, right? Can I ask a question? What does a yes feel like? Ooh, I'm really getting something here. And to take that further in the intuitive development classes that I teach, we speak intuitively with each other in every class, and that means when you're just starting out, not in a scary way, in a very playful way, and in only a yes-no way, because we're learning to feel yes or no, right? But if I can give you that experience of saying something, speaking intuitively to someone who you cannot know, you have never seen before, you only know their first name, you know nothing about them, if you can say something to them that moves them, that strikes them as true, that shifts them, it's amazing validation for you about your own intuition for yourself, and also to help you come to terms with that fear that you have, that you're going crazy, you're making it up, you're not going to be able to control it, you're inviting in negative energy, right? When you connect with your intuition in a safe way, in a natural, connected way, it is the safest thing in the world. Let me back up. So somebody wise, and I don't even know who said it, because I guess it's a very old saying, that there are only two ways to do anything. You can act from fear, or you can act from love. Only two ways. Everything you do, parking your car, taking a shower, starting a new relationship, connecting with your intuitive abilities, you can only do it from a place of fear or from a place of love. When we try to connect intuitively out of fear, that's when things can go a little bit haywire, right? And if our fear is combined with a lot of unresolved issues, let's say around things that have happened to us in our past, unresolved anger, unresolved resentment, maybe we have emotional, mental, physical, spiritual health issues that are not being worked through properly, we're not in a balanced place. When you try to connect with your intuition from that place of imbalance, that's when things can get a little wacky. Because all of us who have intuition, and so that would be every single person on the planet, whether they believe it or not, all of us who have intuition are shining a little light. And when we open up, our light is brighter and brighter and brighter. And just like if we ran outside right now and it's pitch black, at least where I am, it's pitch black outside. If I took a really bright flashlight and I ran outside with that bright, bright light, there would be beautiful things attracted to that light. There'd be moths and lovely, I don't know, other lovely nighttime things would be attracted. And also I'd get mosquitoes, right? And I don't know, the chupacabra and vampire bats, and right? So everything's attracted to the light. And it's very important when you connect intuitively to be coming from a place of love and to be able to set loving boundaries around your energy, understand how to work with your own energy to keep it clean and natural. When we approach intuitive development from that place of fear, that's when we start to see some of the more negative things creeping in. Now, those are pretty easily dealt with because with every breath, we're able to change from fear to love. When we find ourselves in fear, we may take a mindful breath and try again, right? I often teach that with every breath we take, we are either affirming a choice that we've made or we're making a different choice. So if you find yourself in fear, you may take a breath and reconnect in love, but that's difficult if you have been in fear so long that you don't know any other way. And that's part of why when you are beginning to connect intuitively, especially if you're serious about this, if you really want to get into this, it's important to find a teacher who you can trust. It's important to find an author who who you can trust, it's important to find other people who are spiritual teachers or who are spiritual seekers who can help you validate your experiences. If you depend on paranormal investigation TV shows to teach you about what intuition is like and how to go into a situation and what psychic protection is for, you're not going to have a very happy experience. Do you know what I mean? Those shows where people go into dark buildings and start yelling and coughing on...
Yes, absolutely.
That's not good.
It's not. And Karen, you know, I often get called out to deal with poltergeists and spiritual problems, and often these entities are being provoked because some people go because they want to entertain themselves, and it makes the problems worse. But it brings us to a great question that I want to ask you.
Sure.
What's the role of psychic protection and boundary setting?
It's enormous. So every relationship, Steve, is an agreement. Every relationship. I don't just mean I love you, you love me, let's get married and have 1,000 babies. Every relationship is an agreement with our parents, with the person who gave you coffee, with maybe the poltergeist that you have in your home. Every relationship is an agreement. And the fundamental thing you need to know when you begin to work with energy is that nobody, no entity, no energy, no person, no anything, nobody is allowed in your energetic field without your permission. So if you find that you are giving permission, knowingly or unknowingly, you need to start to set that right. And that's where we get into boundaries and psychic protection. A lot of people seem to me to be, and I don't know if you find this in your experience, but a lot of people are waking up as empaths right now, are coming to realize that a lot of the issues in their life are because they are carrying a lot of energy for everybody else and they didn't realize it, but it explains a lot. These people who are kind of waking up as empaths have physical issues, emotional issues, sometimes mental health issues, spiritual issues that are often caused by other people's energy kind of attaching to them. Like the way, so at my house, Pepper the dog lives at my house. She has very black fur. If you come over to my house and you're wearing white pants and you sit on the sofa, when you get up, you will have black fur on your white pants. Other people's energy can cling to us just like that black dog hair can cling to your nice white pants, right? And so psychic protection and boundary setting are necessary, first of all, so that you start to regain your identity as an energetic being, as a much-loved child of the divine, as a powerful energetic being in your own right. You start to know where you stop and other people begin. And it's important if you find that you are giving permission for other people to come into your energy when that's not what you really want. So you've got to set those boundaries so you can take back that permission. It feels to me, Steve, that a lot of what you're doing when you are consulting on cases where there is paranormal activity, where there is a poltergeist, where there is an entity that is manifesting there, it's because permission at some level has been given and you're there to help revoke the permission, right? So setting psychic boundaries is very important. Like so much of this, it's unbelievably simple to begin, but it takes dedication to maintain it, and you want to keep it clean, right? So a very simple way to begin to set psychic protection is to take a few mindful breaths so that you come right into your body, and you imagine that from the crown of your head, that chakra right there, the seventh chakra, that's where we bring in divine love, divine light, divine wisdom. That's like our pipeline to home, right? That's like our connection to the divine, right? You can imagine it coming right through the top of your head. And so from the crown of your head, you can bring that beautiful golden white light of the divine, of the Holy Spirit, of whatever you want to call it. Bring that light all around your body. And you're doing that not in fear, but you're doing it in love. You never shine your light in fear. You always shine it in love. So in a loving way, you bring that white light energy, that divine protection, all around you, right? A simple prayer you can use for psychic protection as you are bringing that light around you just goes like this. This is the prayer I use every day. I used it before I got on this call with you. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is. Now, that word God is incredibly loaded. Take out the word God if you don't want that word. Put something else in there. That prayer is tremendously powerful, not because it's magic words, but because you are reminding yourself that at no time are you disconnected from your divine essence. A very powerful prayer of psychic protection. So when you start to set those boundaries, what happens is that the people who are used to kind of hurling their energy all over you, like Pepper puts her fur on the couch and then it ends up on your pants, let's say your coworker who will not stop talking to you and by the end of the day you're exhausted because you're carrying all her stuff instead of yours, if it is the, your mother who always shamed you and told you you were no good and you've been carrying that around, when you start using good psychic protection, all of a sudden your energy clears. They can't get to you the way that they once did. And people will start to notice the change in you. This is a good kind of change that you're making in yourself as you do that. So psychic protection, and that's a very simple tool. You may use that prayer. There's, if you are at KarenHager.com and you sign up, there's a little box right on the homepage. There's a little box right, I think, on the right-hand side. If you sign up for my email list, and I promise not to bother you very much, because don't you hate the people who email you 5 times a day? But if you sign up for the email list, I have a psychic protection meditation that I would be happy to share with you. That takes that white light that I just talked about and really walks you through it, walks you through the prayer, using that prayer to seal your protective sphere. And that is a wonderful way of reclaiming your boundaries.
Thank you, Karen. I'll be downloading that myself. Let me ask you, Karen, you work with people all over the world, but what are the common issues that they bring to you?
I am very lucky. It's amazing because sometimes I look at, you know, I imagine me back in that room with Matthew Engel, who was my teacher and mentor when I was beginning. And thank goodness for his patience and his light and his humor, because I don't know what would have become of me if I hadn't found him. Standing in with Matthew and having him say, you should print business cards, and then I fast forward to where I am now, I'm so lucky because I am connecting with people from all over the world. I'm connecting with people with all different sort of religious and spiritual affiliations. I connect with people who have no religious affiliation at all, don't label themselves. A few of the common things that I have seen over the years is that many people come to me when they are confused about relationships with people who they feel are soulmates. They're in relationships that started out well and now are changing, and they're wanting to know, what is the lesson I'm meant to get from this relationship? If this person is my soulmate, why can't I still be in love with them? Why aren't they still in love with me? Why isn't this working out beautifully? Because we have a soulmate relationship. So I do a lot of work with soulmate relationships. I also often have insight into what someone's divine path is, what their soul path is. When we come in, and it's one of the many ironies of being in the physical body. There are so many ironies of being in the physical body, but one of them seems to be that before we come in, we decide what areas we most want to explore, what lessons we most want to learn, what limits we most want to experience so that we can learn to transcend them. And I'm often able to help people connect with what their divine path is, what their vocation is, in my traditional sense of the word, what their calling is, so that they can be more closely aligned with their soul path. I also do a lot of work with people who are beginning to identify, discern, and release energetic blocks. I created a healing method called the Breathe, Love, Live method for people to, in an experiential way, a very practical way, not a lot of woo-woo about what I do, begin to connect with the energy that they're holding around their own hearts and start to release in a way that is healthy for them. All that energy that we carry, and it doesn't matter where you live in the world, it doesn't matter what you believe or don't believe, we are all carrying our past hurts. We are all carrying the things that have happened to us and the things that will happen to us, the things that are happening to us now. And so I connect with people also to help them discern and begin to lift those energetic blocks so that they can move forward. It's funny, Steve, because when I began this work, I thought I would be a psychic like, when I first started on the radio now, many years ago, when I first started on the radio, I would take calls, and the calls I would get would be like, is my boyfriend coming back? What color is the house I should buy? Do you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Will July be a lucky month for me? And I really thought that was how I was going to help people. And very soon after I started to do that, I realized that my work, my gift, is on a different level, a deeper level, because I feel like what I'm here to do is help people see, switch a light on for them, help them see their own pattern, help them see their own paths so that they can live in a way that is more free. I often say that one of the problems with my marketing plan is that if I do a good job, if I could just reach everybody in the world, that nobody would ever need to talk to me again, because they'd all be connected with their intuition and living like these amazing, plugged-in, inspired lives. So I have to work on the marketing plan, Steve, because there's a fatal flaw there. I've missed a big...
Yeah, the thing is, I'm the same. I just don't market myself. I've always got my nose in a book, and I'm interested in studying and learning and being with clients, but I always miss out on that, don't do enough of it. I do want to ask you, Karen, sure, just briefly, can you help us to understand the role of the heart center, the fourth chakra, when it comes to healing and releasing energy?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So that what a beautiful... What a beautiful space. That little space within the heart contains so much, right? So your heart chakra, your fourth chakra, a chakra is just an energy center in the body. It spins, it moves, it is alive. And your chakras take in energy. They integrate that energy in your system, and they also release the energy. So in your heart chakra, the fourth chakra, right in the middle of your chest, that is the balance place between the physical and the spiritual. It's the balance place between the upper and the lower chakras. And it's the area in which we hold our energy about balance and the tools with which we can learn to release or take on, right, and return to balance. So with clients, when we're working on healing, we're working a lot in that area of the heart center. The Breathe, Love, Live method is very centered on the fourth chakra. Because it is in that space, it expands beautifully. And in some people, for example, the empathic people who I was talking about before, their heart centers have expanded so much to carry everyone in the entire world that they're heavy, they're weighted down. That center will expand exponentially. You just want to be sure that what you're keeping in there really belongs to you, and that it's there because you want it to be there, right? Every relationship is an agreement. What you keep in your heart center also is stuff that you've been agreeing to keep. So understanding, clarifying, clearing, relating to that fourth chakra is vital in any kind of energetic healing, in any kind of balance that you want to do.
Wonderful, Karen. Well, before we wrap up, Karen, I want you to just share with us what you have planned, what's next for you, and also how our listeners can contact you.
Oh, my goodness. You can find me at my website, which is karenhager.com, so karenhager.com. Go in there and clean me out, okay? There's that free daily spiritual practice audio. There's the psychic protection meditation. If you sign up for my newsletter, I send out a little audio email twice a month, well, every couple of weeks, and that always has discounts on private sessions in there for the people who are subscribers. So go do that. Go clean me out. Take everything free. Go up there and take everything from me. I do a monthly online gallery reading where I connect with people in a group setting online. All you need is a phone. The next one of those is on December 14th. I teach a 6-week online psychic development intensive. That's also done online. All you need is a phone. Very powerful class. I love that class, and I look forward to it every time I teach it. That class begins on January 6th, and there's more information about that at karenhager.com. And I've begun doing a lot more traveling and speaking, and I will be back in the San Francisco Bay Area teaching and speaking in February. And I'm also teaming up with the wonderful, funny astrologer, Dr. Michael Lennox, and we've begun doing in-person and online astro-intuitive gallery readings. We're doing one on Saturday, November 23rd. There are two seats left in that. If you want to come and frolic with us in an online gallery reading, get his astrological wisdom, my wacky intuitive guidance, jump on that because there's only two seats left as of the time that we went on the air. Okay.
Wonderful,
so I think that's it.
Karen.
KarenHager.com. Go take everything.
Yes, we should. Absolutely. Well, Karen, thank you for joining us. It's been a great interview. I could talk to you forever. You must come back.
Well, thank you. I would love to come back. I'm so grateful for the chance to speak with you and speak with your listeners. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you so much. And we'll have you back again soon.
Wonderful.
Well, that was a great interview. I really enjoy Karen. I think she's got so much knowledge to share, and she's a great speaker and wonderful intuitive. So I want to thank Karen once again for joining us this evening. I would like to take a moment to make some announcements. Do stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We'll announce the call-in number a little later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And if you didn't catch our show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives to all of our previous shows at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just select the Archives tab, and do feel free to circulate those links and future show details to your friends and family. We want to connect with as many people as possible, so please do go ahead and share those links. Do visit our website, psychicbloggers.com, where you can learn about everything from paranormal investigations to reincarnation, psychic development, you name it. If it's supernatural, it's there. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the internet, go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that the readers are all verified, accuracy tested, offering their unique gifts. Each one of them has a profile so that you can learn about them and decide which one of them can help you with your question or inquiry. It's a great honor to work with Doug and Psychic Access. We've got very high expectations of our readers and of ourselves. All of the co-hosts on the show, psychicaccesstalkradio.com, are with Psychic Access. So if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to come and visit us at psychicaccess.com. We're always happy to hear from you. And remember that if you have a reading on the radio show and you have a need for more information, more insight, you can always contact us at psychicaccess.com, because we just have roughly 5 minutes for each call. Now, if you have your own website, you can earn money through our program in which you get 50 cents a minute for readings that are transferred to Psychic Access from your site. If you'd like more information, go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please do invite your friends, join us in the chat room, and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. We love the show every Thursday, and we very much appreciate you joining us. Well, now, on to that part of the show with the banter. I want to ask Maureen how she felt about the interview.
Oh, I just loved it. She was just fantastic. And, you know, I think I typed in to you. She talks truth. I mean, she's an absolutely great speaker and articulates. But in addition to that, I related to a lot of everything that she was talking about, especially about how, she said she wished she had gotten it sooner with her work, you know, and everything. And that is sometimes I can reflect on that. And also she was talking about so many things that I could relate to especially the boundaries. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's like, Steve, you know, as well as we've spoken about some things, I'm not going to say our personal business, but like things just recently you were involved in, it's so important to have boundaries when you're doing some type of work, because you can open yourself up to such outrageous consequences and such. And, yeah, she was fantastic. And she's very easy to follow for people that are even just beginning to get in touch with themselves. And by the way, one more thing. I'm sorry. You know what? I loved how she said it was – well, that was interesting. I loved what she said about you can get in tune with any – you don't have to sit there and be meditating. You know, you can dance around or clean or whatever, sweep, and like the monk sweeping. And, you know, she's absolutely right. For me, it's I like to dance – well, I'm a good dancer. But I like to dance, and I do get more in touch – or I'm more mindful of just being in that place instead of meditation. So yeah.
I think there are many ways to meditate, Maureen, and what works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another.
Yeah, well, you know, dancing around her is cool on it is fine. But yeah, she was just lovely.
She's really nice.
Yes. Very nice.
Great. Well, thank you, Maureen. And Stephen, are you with us?
Absolutely.
What did you think of the interview?
Well, I have to say, this is probably one of the more educational shows that I've had to enjoy yet. I mean, I'm speaking personally here because this is an area of inquiry that is near and dear to my heart. So I found her comments to be very, very educational, especially what she had to say about fear. That really struck home to me because doing what we do for a living, this is sort of like the Paris Island of metaphysics. You know, this is like a boot camp where you're doing hundreds, if not thousands, of readings, and the need to develop a psychic immune system, so to speak, you know, that is absolutely vital, or else it can totally sour you. You see, so I paid special attention when she had those remarks.
Great. Well, Stephen, let me ask you, what do you do to protect yourself psychically?
Well, I actually perform a ritual. I think that even though I don't practice any formal or orthodox or conventional religion, I still think that the need for ritual is here among us human beings. And I perform a banishing ritual just to get rid of the earth element from my life, you know, to protect myself from the envious, and also to protect myself from a lot of the bad karma and bad decisions that I have to confront from my clients as well, believe it or not. Because as you know, you take that sort of thing out of the office with you. And so I do what's called the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram, which is actually, you know, very good for cleansing your energy and sort of rebuffing any nasty earth elements that come after you. And it's free, it's simple too, very simple to do.
Excellent. I love smudging and candles, incense, things like that.
Right, right. Yeah, it's important to have a way to, you know, I'm reminded of the Etch-a-Sketch slates. You know, I don't know if all the ones listening at home and in the chat room were too young to remember these, but when I was a kid many moons ago, we had these Etch-a-Sketch slates where you could twist knobs and design these, you know, make these designs. And when you were done, you just slid something over and it just wiped the slate clean. You know, psychically, I think your guest made me realize I needed something like that. Ms. Hagen did.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Steve.
Sure.
And Carmen, how did you enjoy the interview? Oh, Carmen, can you hear me? Oh, I think we've lost Carmen. Those technical hobgoblins have affected Carmen as well.
It was the net. It was the Logitech net monster.
Aha! Well, Carmen, tell us, what did you think of the interview?
Oh, it's just beautiful. You know, I mean, it's always really nice to hear someone's viewpoints, and a very, very well-rounded, very nice general introduction to everything, and very succinctly put in terms of, I think, everything that I have acquired, a lot of the information that we need to remind ourselves of. And it's a very nice, inclusive view of all of the talents, the psychic talents as well. And I think I like the way she seems to, in her thinking, put everything into nice little organized step-by-step boxes in terms of having thought out kind of a little strategy as to how to deal with life as a psychic. You know, what I find is so amazing now is that we're all coming out, you know, essentially, and we're finding out how people must have spent the last decade or two not talking about it, and finally they're able to put it down and into books or into words and organize it, and then the organization of it is just the most beautiful process, and I want to thank her for that. It was a very beautiful interview.
Wonderful. Thank you, Karma. I do want to ask you to share with our listeners a little insight into your psychic protection rituals as well, because I think it's so important for people as they begin to develop their psychic ability that they know how to create those boundaries that are so important.
Yeah, it's kind of difficult for me because I wasn't grown up with any rituals. I wasn't baptized until later years. And so we had pretty much of an agnostic family. And even then, we were very independent in all of the things that we could do. So I have not ever been taught in ritual. So what I do is the basic go to the gym, have something to eat, and get out of the house. And those are my three, those are the things I like to do if I'm being, you know, bombarded as such by psychic energy. So, you know, usually after a call or whatever, I definitely will go for a walk. Sometimes I'll go and read and I'll switch my mind up for something. But I'd say for sure, nothing beats exercise. And if you can't exercise, and I know what that's like because I was ill for a number of years, I would say for the most part, at that point, just get outside, go sit on your balcony, get into the sun, feel the wind on your face. And just those are the most simple ways to protect yourself from anything that's kind of spooky or ethereal.
That's good advice, Carmen. I agree with you that being in nature, feeling the sunshine on your face is very grounding and protective. And I also feel that exercising is important as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, I always say to people the best way to stay protected is to make sure that your vibration is high, and that involves being happy. You know, you don't hear of ecstatically happy people being bothered by negative entities. They usually go after some form of weakness or depression. They go after people when they're feeling vulnerable. So I think doing everything we can to stay well integrated, well adjusted is really the key.
That's right. And if it's like anything, even if people want to go and have like a good, if a video game brings them out of a psychic headspace, if surfing the net or whatever brings them out of a space that makes them anxious, then be whatever it may be. It doesn't even have to necessarily be physical. Though opening up a window and just feeling the wind is just the one way to remind yourself that you're part of something that is not so heady and you're part of a basic, you know, natural structure.
Well, thank you, Carmen.
Thank you. That's a good question.
Well, thank you. Now, Maureen, are you with us?
Yeah, I've been here. What's up with that?
What were you thinking?
I was thinking about, you were asking about rituals or protection and such. You know, and the one thing, you know, I grew up as a Catholic and which I was totally resentful of as time went by. But later on, I discovered that it was because of all the rituals that the Catholics do. They're the most, they do, out of all the big traditional religions, they have the most rituals. They have the incense burning. They have, you know, angels and stained glass. And they, you know, have candles all over. And I took that later after being so resentful. And I thought, that's really cool. That's why I love burning candles. That's why I love my incense. And I love, I sage continually throughout the day. I mean, I sage outside. I go down to the beach and sage the beach. But I also use sweet grass. By the way, anybody that does smudge and they use sage, they should always use sweet grass afterwards because that opens up positive.
I didn't know that.
Yes, just saying.
Where does one purchase sweet grass?
Well, you can get it in its form. It's really tall, and it's difficult to burn. Some people are you know, more commercialized. They're bundling it up now with some smudge sticks, and they'll put sweet grass in there. So that's another way, you know, that's already intertwined or interweaved inside the big sticks, you know. But yeah, I know I didn't know that for a long time till a dear friend of mine who's a Native American Indian, she's told me, well, you know, it's great to get all that negative stuff, but then you've got sweet grass opens up the positive to come back. And I use holy water.
I do as well.
I love holy water. I use it and it doesn't burn me. But yeah, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about that while you guys are talking. So I'm great.
Wonderful.
You know, and also, coming from a place, you know what the best thing is about this whole, the interview and the whole thing that she was talking about, you need to come from a place of good intent and love. It's really where it comes down to. And that's for yourself as well. You know, so.
Do you agree it's important that we work to ensure we feel good about ourselves and life?
Oh, yeah. And it's not so much about being happy. I don't feel that so much. That word always is, you know, I get hooked on these words sometimes, but absolutely, I do feel that way. Just my personal knowing, insightfulness from my own personal experiences, I'm talking. Yes, absolutely.
I must admit, though, may I interject, that it must be very difficult for certain psychics to be content. I know that as an empath, it is virtually impossible for me to, you know what I mean?
It is for me. That's why I've had so much mental illness. problems, and I can't shut down, and I walk around and I'm getting so much stuff from people. I don't want it. And it all occurred to me all those years that, yeah, and that is difficult. And I always had good intentions, but you can get, like, I love how she said whacked out. I get in a funk really bad. And it's difficult.
At least now we can recognize it, because I did experimentation, and that was to just, you know, remove certain influences from my life. And then I was happier. And then when I brought them back in, and when I felt, you know, then I would notice the difference in my mood. And that could be psychological. But as well, that's a very cautious line that I think certain psychics need to wander. Look, not all psychics are empaths. Some of them are great at prediction, right?
Great, bless their hearts. And I always think about, you know, and their journey hasn't been as difficult. But I like how she said people are waking up and suddenly, oh my gosh, all this energy. You know, when I walk around, it's like, I don't want this. And I'm a recluse, I think, because of it. I have isolated myself, and that's no good either. But, you know, doing it through the phone or whatever, you still get stuff. And, you know, it's nobody's fault. It is what it is. But, yeah, it's pretty intense when you have that impasse.
But then you have pets.
Draining.
And I think that for empaths, you have to have a pet to drain, get that energy back into something that is just going to really spiritually reimburse you, really, for your caring of fellow humans.
Yeah, I just brush my teeth all the time. I do. And shower. Get it all down the drain.
Showering is really important.
Yeah, that's true.
Remember reading about a famous psychic, I can't remember who it was, and she used to have three baths a day.
Oh, yeah.
Three salt baths, because it cleanses the aura. Yeah. And I often feel I can be, you know, with clients on the phone all day long and all evening, and often I think, oh, I'm going to take a break. I'll have a shower, and it does help.
Yes, absolutely.
It really does. Well, before we start taking calls, I want to ask you, Stephen, to just share with us an experience with spirit that you found perturbing, and how you dealt with that.
Ah, yes. Unfortunately, there was one episode in my adolescence where it did disturb me quite a bit. And my only recourse to getting relief from the situation was to remove myself from the environment. But I had some problems with some electronic appliances. For example, radios that would turn on and would not turn off. I couldn't get them to turn back off. You know what I mean? That sort of thing. And I had that bother me for a few months in my sophomore year in high school. And like I said, usually when it would happen, I would have to remove myself from the house. I would have to go for a walk. I would have to distance myself, you know, from the point of turbulence. And that's been a strategy that's helped me a lot with a wide manner of different problems. Just taking a walk or a breather from what's molesting me, you know. And that's what I would do.
It's good advice. Again, being in the fresh air, being out there, with nature, feeling the sunshine and the elements.
Or like you guys said, you know, taking a bath or taking a shower. I mean, especially taking a bath where you can lie supine in the tub. You know, the ritual bathing is also an important preliminary to doing spiritual work, such as the banishment rituals or any other sort of self-cleansing or self-strengthening that you want to do. You know, the ritual bathing is important, and that's even leaked down into so-called Orthodox religions. You know, the Muslims, they ritually cleanse their hands and their feet before prayers, and I'm sure many Christian sects have a similar practice. So, you know, can't underestimate the power of water.
Absolutely. It's cleansing.
Yes, yeah, it absolutely is cleansing. And if you don't have a bathtub, you know, don't worry, you can still get the spiritual benefit from bathing, but it's, you know, you have to focus on it mentally. It really helps to envision any harm or negativity sort of swirling down the drain along with the water, you know.
Well, thank you, Stephen. We are going to start taking calls. I do want to just give out the number. It's 724-444-4851. So we have got people in the queue, in the line, but do call in if you'd like to have a reading. 724-444-4851. And the first caller is for you, Carmen. And this is a caller from Ohio.
Hello, Ohio. Hi. Hi. Oh, hello. We're just waiting to connect to him. Hello. This is always the fun where we just count down a little bit and wait for our client to connect. It's actually part of our act. It's part of the script, and we have them timed to come in at certain points. Yeah, now I'm
let's
going to
see.
Do it again.
Well, let's see. Ohio, are you on the line with us?
No, we hello? Lost Ohio. Yeah. But I think we have New York. Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
Hello.
Great. Oh, no, we've got Ohio. We have got Ohio here.
Okay.
Can you
so
speak
Ohio
up for us, Ohio?
Hello?
Hello?
There we go, Carmen.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello. Nice to meet you. Hey. I don't know if we've met before.
Hi.
What's your name?
Hi. Hello?
Hi. Can you hear me? It's Carmen speaking.
Hi, Carmen. This is Leola.
Leola, you're on the Psychic Access Radio Show. Go ahead and ask your question.
Yes. Am I capable of having a healthy baby at my age?
Oh, my goodness. One of the things, and I'm sure our producer will agree, is that we do not answer medical questions. Is there any way, especially about children, that you can ask this in a different manner?
Okay. Do you see me having a child in the future?
Let me look at that for you, because that'll give you at least the next year. We can have a look at maybe, you know, some possibilities of what comes up. But I haven't really trained as much as a medical intuitive just because of the ethics. But let me have a look here.
Okay.
Have you had kids before, Leola? It says you may have tried. And moment. Over the next year, what is coming more into focus is actually a relationship with an old partner. And then that's actually not the next year. This is the first upcoming part. And I feel like, and this is where I'm not good at health readings, because what I'm going to get is probably just the next few months, literally. And it says here, perhaps, you know, not this month. And we know that. I don't think you're going to be able to even conceive before Christmas. And then it says here, yet, by the way, you do get an answer that you can be successful at having two. And they're actually girls. So I'm thinking this isn't too far off, but I'm wondering how. I'm wondering and when. And it's like not saying within the next year. And there is a possibility you could conceive. So that's a good answer, at least, in terms of hopefully that will help you understand that there's nothing wrong with you. Are you seeing somebody right now?
Well, not exactly. Me and my ex, we've been talking, communicating.
That's right. Most of us are in that situation, and most people say not really actually seeing somebody, but I think that you are. And he does figure in this reading, and he does seem to come still influence your life, which is what I saw in the original part of the reading, which will probably be exactly what I'm seeing here in terms of this taking a few months before you conceive, because you're still in love with your ex and he's still so used to having you in his life that he really probably still wants to connect with you. That's not to make a prediction that you will get back together, but these are just little strings of information that I got. And so I would feel like you could probably expect a good valuable commitment in the next few months, few years. Actually, even if I say months and that just comes off the tip of my tongue, then keep that little prediction, because sometimes it comes out like automatic talking. Oh, and, okay. You could actually meet somebody new, or you're going to go into a commitment again within the half a year. Oh, there's your answer. And that's actually really very nice, I think, for you. So I think you actually got a very nice reading, and I wish you the best for you guys, and for at least I hope that you have your baby with a man you love, you know. But it's not impossible. Isn't that nice to hear?
Right. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay, great.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen. That was a lovely reading. Good news.
Hey.
Okay. Well, let's see if we have another call. You're next up, Stephen.
Okay.
And you've got a caller from New York. Yes.
Oh, how nice. How nice. Who am I speaking with in New York this evening?
Hi, Anne.
Hello, Anne. How may I help you?
Yes. So I have a friend on Facebook who is from high school, and I think he was annoyed at me at one point. He even private messaged me that I'm disturbing his privacy. And I'm just wondering if it's okay to get in touch with him again.
Okay, one second. Let me pick up on this situation here, okay?
Yeah.
One moment while I pick up on what's going on between you guys. And you know what? I've got to tell you, Ann, it's not going to be a good idea to contact this gentleman at all, okay? He's made it quite clear that he's not interested in receiving communications from you. So he's going to interpret anything, even so much as a text, he's going to interpret that as you not getting the message. He's going to interpret that as you harassing him, as you stalking him. He really did mean it, is what I'm trying to tell you, Ann, okay? So he wants you to get that message loud and clear. You see what I'm saying? I hate to really be so negative about it, but I just want to make sure you understand that contacting him in any way, shape, form, or fashion is not going to get you where you want to go with him. Okay? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish it could be, you know, some other way, but I'm picking up on an overwhelming amount of negativity coming from this gentleman, and he's just really not as interested as he would need to be in order to make you happy. He's not even close to that, you know? So it would be a waste of your time, and it would be quite harmful for you, which is my main consideration here. Much better for you to just go ahead and heal from this situation and get over it, and that way you'll attract a romance that's much more appropriate for you, Anne.
Okay. You know? All right.
I wish you the best of luck for that, and thanks for calling us, and come see us at psychicaccess.com, okay, Anne?
Okay.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. And sure. Maureen, you have a caller from Georgia.
Okay. Hello, Georgia, from the state of
Georgia. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hi, and what's your name, please?
Monique.
Hi, Monique, and what can I help you with?
I'm calling, and I'd like to know, when will I meet a new guy in my life?
Okay. I want to ask
my
you,
family,
straight
my
out, is there anybody on your mind?
Industry, anything like that.
Okay, wait. Is there anybody particularly on your mind because of our time restraint and the reading time? It's good that I just get that out of the way. Is there someone that you have on your mind particularly? Are you open to the whole universe of the
man? I prefer someone new in my life. It's what I'm more focused on. Someone new coming to my life.
So you're open to meeting people that are meeting an individual. You're not hanging out. Okay. I got it.
Well,
you,
no.
Okay.
No.
Well, you know, I do see someone surrounding you right now that is clearly able to make a commitment. I mean, he looks like he flies into the picture. I mean, but I see him surrounding you presently. However, it's interesting because it appears like you're almost like a. I see another man around you that is not. He looks like he appears like he would be more successful financially speaking, but he actually is not really. He just gives that appearance, and he looks like he's more mature. But then I see this other person who may be someone that you would never had thought of in a way that you would. Yeah. Pardon me?
Probably a new person. Already stable.
Yeah, I see a very stable person, and I also feel that you've never really, your eyes aren't very open to the, I feel that he's surrounding you right now, a very, very healthy person that's able to commit, who's pursuing you, but he's normally not the type that you would go for, or your eyes wouldn't, and so my feeling is this, it's someone you know of already, and he's wonderful, he's really able to, And it does feel like the timing wasn't. It's like I feel that you need to open up to this individual that I see surrounding you right now. He's very positive, but like I said, you know how we kind of go for the wrong people. Well, women do, men do too. But we go for the wrong person.
I know I go by my gut and my energy on people. So my last relationship, I had a bad feeling, and then we end up going together, and things didn't turn out so bad. Went bad.
Right.
Oh, that was my fault. I didn't listen to my good feelings. So I did have a bad feeling about that person. I did. I just probably gave him a chance. I don't know why. I'm disappointed about that. That's my fault. I should have with my heart, and I didn't. So.
Yeah, but don't be too hard on yourself. You're a wise woman. Not very many women would come right out and say this. Everybody listen up on air, because I have to admire you for that, because. Yeah, we all should listen to our inner voice, and when we don't, we get ourselves in a predicament. But with that, but you really do are too hard on yourself, and I do see that you kind of your expectations are way high, way over high, and you would get really down and depressed about yourself, and there's no good will come from that. So right now, I feel that because you're very self-aware, and you even just verbalized it. Like I said, I see someone so positive around you, like right now, that's offering. It's almost like someone offering to do things. Like he's getting it out. He's not afraid, and it looks like he may travel, or he doesn't live in the area.
So which one you live in? Someone new or somebody else? I don't know.
I do feel that you know of this person I'm seeing right now, though, but it's not the one. Yeah, and he appears like someone that you would normally not be attracted to, perhaps. Although it's not that he's not good. It's just listen to your inner voice. Actually, you said it perfectly. Listen to your inner voice rather than the other part. And I just see, so you need to open up to this person that's already surrounding you, and it may be someone that's like it was like a friend, as well. But I just see I see him courting you.
Well, it would be drama. Would it be interference with this person? If it's my relationship, y'all would be interfering.
Would be what? I'm sorry, I didn't understand. What would
interfere? People interfering when you're
No, I do not see people interfering, and that will have a lot to do with what your self awareness is. The only person I see that would interfere with this may only be you, because you might. No, I don't see a bunch of people crazy making in this, which is fantastic, and I'm really good at picking up on stuff of that nature. So he doesn't bring about that kind of energy either. He wouldn't be partaking in crazy making interfering people. No, I don't. But
I'm gonna have a problem with him. The new guy.
I just feel you need to open your eyes, liberate yourself to this person. Almost like open yourself up to this already person I see surrounding you, and it may be like a friend type, but you're not seeing it in a way that could be more than that.
So just a friend with the new guy.
Yeah, but it's okay. Being with a friend that you've known of, is that absolutely the best kind of relationship to be really thinking about lifelong partnership? But, yes, pay attention. Open your eyes. You already know that. You already said it before. You're very self-aware of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? I hope I helped you, and I
okay.
And don't be so hard on yourself. And if you want to contact us at psychicaccess.com, you can do so. We offer a 6-minute free reading.
Yeah, so both guys will be around at the same time. I have to choose between two guys or something like that.
You already know what to do, though. You know which one is, you know what I mean. You already know. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Monique. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, the next call is from South Carolina, and this is for me. Who's calling?
Hey, my name is Tiana. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing okay.
Good. What's your question?
I'm actually calling to find out what are my purposes as far as career-wise, what direction should I be going into? I've been looking for a job, and I'm kind of stuck as to what I should be doing or who I'm going to have this career with, what area, I guess.
Well, the short answer is that you're not in the right career at the moment. I feel strongly that whatever you're doing now is not the field that you will stay in or should be in. And I feel as though you have some choices to make. I know that you're good with people, but I know as well that you're quite a strong character. So you're actually quite good at dealing with problems. And you're the kind of person that's not very fearful of problems, of disputes, and the issues that people face in their lives. So I feel on the one hand, you're great at counseling people, but it seems specifically dealing with conflict. And I think that you're great at mediating and sorting out problems between people, and I'm actually very drawn towards the law. Now, I feel have a choice. I feel actually law enforcement would be really good, and I feel you've got the strength of character, the resilience to do that kind of work, but I'm also drawn to law, you know, more traditional law, being an attorney, that kind of field, but I'm drawn in that direction. Have you considered either or both of those?
Yeah, I have two paralegal degrees right now that really haven't got me anywhere, and I decorate cakes right now, which I love doing, but I'm looking for a job.
You're very
and
creative.
I've been having a hard time finding something.
You are creative, but I feel that you need to be working with people, and you are the kind of person that's not necessarily going to do one thing anyway. But I feel some form of law enforcement would be really good for you. And I feel that the qualifications that you have in law will really stand you in good stead in that field, because you've got not only the resilience and the strength of character to deal with people and to deal with conflict, but you've also got academic law under your wing as well. So I really feel very drawn towards law enforcement. I'm not sure whether it's traditional police force or FBI, CIA, something like that, but I'm drawn very much in that direction. You're smart, you're inquisitive, you spot things, you've got that great strength of character to actually see things through and address problems. So that's very much the direction I'm drawn in for you. And I feel that strongly. So I really feel what you need. Sorry.
Not looking at administrative. I'm looking at like administrative work, customer service. Those are the jobs I've been looking for, and I'm actively looking, but nothing has actually, you know, jumped out at me for the most part. I'm still stumped, you know? So,
I don't feel the customer service for you. I don't feel it's going to be stimulating enough for you. I don't feel that it's what you're really passionate about. And I feel that you're really meant to be out there in the world shining a light.
Okay.
Or shining the light on situations, shining truth on situations, and being a real pioneer for truth and justice. So I feel strongly drawn to law enforcement. It's always your choice. But I just don't feel the customer service industry for you. It just wouldn't be challenging enough. And it doesn't feel like you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I need to be looking back in the area of law, legal, because I really didn't have it. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm too, I wouldn't say too smart, but I did graduate magna cum laude at one point, and I don't know why people aren't wanting to give me a chance. I will work from the bottom to the top, but, you know, I'm having an issue with trying to get placed in a career, kind of jobs, you know?
Well, consider law enforcement rather than traditional courtroom law or legal practice, because I feel that you could do brilliantly in some form of investigation or investigative research or law enforcement actually on the streets. But there are so many different opportunities in that field, and I feel that you could really flourish. And I also feel that you'd be spotted. You know, I feel if you were assessed for that kind of opportunity, people would see the strength of character and the balance within you, your ability to deal with people and to mediate and things like that. So that's what I feel strongly for you, but obviously it's down to you to investigate and see what the best opportunity is for you. But certainly I don't feel the customer service satisfying you for long at all. And I really feel that you do need a change. Things are going to shift for you pretty quickly in the new year, actually. And you're going to have more than one opportunity, and you'll do very well. You'll climb to a senior level and be well respected. Men respect you. You know, you're very good at dealing with strong characters and big issues. And I certainly see you having a number of opportunities next year. Okay?
Wow. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Good luck. And if we can help you any more, come and see us at Psychic Access.
No problem. I'll try again with Psychic Access. We're having some issues with that too.
Great. I'll try again. All right. Thanks. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, let me see. Carmen, you have a caller from Massachusetts.
Yay. Hello. Hello, caller. It's Carmen here.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, hey. I sure can. Hey, hi. How are you tonight? What's your name?
My name's Dave.
Hey, Dave. Hi. Nice to meet you. Well, okay, great. What can I do for you? Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, my question is, you know, I work for a psychic service, and this is my question. I have this uncanny ability to be able to tell, like, if someone's had a child that's passed. My throat's a little sore, so I apologize. For example, I'll know if it's a boy, or I'll know if it's a girl, and I'll know approximately just after birth or before, if it was a miscarriage or whatever, okay? And my question is this, you know, it comes at me quickly, like, I feel sad. I don't know why it's sadness, but and it just comes at me like a rush. And it's kind of hard to control, but it's just crazy. I mean, and I've been doing it for a while. I normally don't say anything, you know, but every time I do, I'm accurate, you know, and I don't know why I do it. I don't know why me. I don't know why I have the ability to do this or why I'm doing it. I guess more like why I'm doing it. Yeah, I do some physical mediumship and other things. So, but I don't know why. So, any advice or any feeling on that would be helpful.
I mean, I know that as what I've learned about that kind of situation is that, especially right now, I think that with the crises that are going on in our world right now, a lot of us are tuning into different streams of our psychic abilities. So, you're probably first thing I would logically try and assume is, and I'm going to look at it with the cards too and see what I can glean from that, is that, you know, you've had some loss in your life, or you've had brothers and sisters around you, younger siblings. I mean, that would be the first thing I would come to. But you know what, an interesting thing that happened to me was in the last couple of years, because here in Canada we're kind of really blasted with a lot of news information. You walk into a store and everybody has a radio or a news ticker on, even in restaurants. And that has been burned into my subconscious. So now my dreams are all pretty much about news events. And I'm wondering if something similar might be happening to you. Did you ever have any kids around you yourself?
No, I have one daughter. That's it. I don't know anyone in my family who's had miscarriages or who've lost a baby. Mm-hmm. So, You know, I mean, it's helpful to people, you know, and I tell them, and they know, most of the time they know the answer, but sometimes they know if it was a boy or a girl, you know. So they constantly verify it for me. But I don't know. It's just kind of crazy.
This is new for you, and when this happens, you get overwhelmed by sadness. Do you get details of how they passed? And how do you verify it?
That's okay, well, for example, if I like suddenly feel very sad, very quick, and it's intensive, and because I do some physical mediumship, I also know that if I feel like kind of like a drool coming off the bottom of my lip on the right side, it's a girl, on the right side, it's a boy, and I ask if they had a miscarriage, and they say yes or no, and I tell them approximately when it happened. If it's prior to 4 weeks, I normally can't determine the sex, but or if it happened just after, how long just after. And I'll know that because I won't get as sad as quick, and it'll take longer. So I'm kind of like pinpointing how I do it, but it's just I don't understand why I do it. I don't understand. Maybe someone's just trying to get these people the message, and if that's true, why me? Or who is it that wants me to get them this message? I think it's, you know, maybe actually might have been a question.
I'm looking here for you, and I think that's a very interesting point. And so what it says here is you've actually become very skilled through your work. Your job has tuned you in. It says here also, you've become somewhat interested in the ethics of, or perhaps giving truths. And I'm thinking here that it might be preoccupying you, so you're opening up other channels. So in other words, for some reason, I think it would be very interesting to have a male actually to be able to counsel on having children, because I think that, you know, in truth, most women would have a bias on that. Now, only to explain that most of us would be set up to either protect the people that we would be reading for, to protect them from the pain, because we understand that, and also because we probably would want our own children to some extent. So I'm thinking you're the perfect medium for that kind of a message. And it says here, it does indicate the issues about miscarriages, which is interesting too. And that's interesting. Did you ever notice that? Like, can you tell from live? I'm just looking here at the outcome. It does say here it's a new channel that's opened up for you. And to some extent, it says here these kids are imprisoned. I'm not sure what the message means by that. And
what is that?
That the children are imprisoned. It's an Eight of Swords coming up here next to the Princess of Cups, which is, you know, Page of Cups. And if you know cards, it's kind of like saying they need to talk. And it's interesting to say that they maybe have one last thing they want to say through you. And I've never had children, and I deal mostly with adults. I find it very interesting, and I think that somebody should do a study into children's souls and probably how they communicate after they've passed, even when they don't have language capacity. So,
right,
very
because
lovely,
they don't have any experiences,
so
I kind of don't have anything to pass along. But okay, great, okay, good.
Well, you know, it's like one of those things. I mean, it's like that's a little touch to your business that you can add should any of the women be more interested in finding out. And I wouldn't make it into a business because that's just the way I look at things. But I'd say for you, it's just a new channel. And I would follow it. I would follow what that means for you. Kids. Simple.
Okay.
Interesting. Because I don't pick up on that stuff. Well, it was really nice.
Well, I'm a tarot card reader, and I do some mediumship stuff too. So, awesome.
Thank you for your answer.
Thank you for your help.
All right, very interesting. Hey, good luck. Good luck with your work and all. Hey, hope it's going well. Thank you. Thanks, A.
Okay,
bye.
Thank you. God bless.
You too.
Thank you, Carmen. The next call is from Louisiana for Stephen.
Thank you very much, Steve. Hello. Who am I speaking with in Louisiana?
Hi, my name is Kiera.
Kiera?
Uh-huh, Kiera.
How may I help you this evening, Kiera? Thank you very much for calling us, by the way.
Thank you. My question is, like, I'm going through, like, a terrible, like, breakup, like, with my ex. I just found out that he was cheating on me, and I was just wondering, like, do you see any change in the relationship or anything like that?
Okay. Let's see what we got going on here.
He's like texting me and everything. Like, I understand, like, why are you even talking to me? And I find out you're cheating on me.
Yes. Is this going to change? Is it going... You know, I'm actually inclined to think that this situation is not beyond salvage, Kiara. Mm-hmm. And I don't say that lightly. I definitely do not say that. There are some relationships where infidelity occurs, where it is worthwhile to try to work things out. And then there are other cases where infidelity happens, and the best course of action is to chalk the relationship up to a bad mm-hmm. experience, a learning experience, and move on. This does not mm-hmm. seem to be the case here. In mm-hmm. fact, and this goes against my sort of my instincts as a human being, you know, just having my own personal opinions about how relationships should be conducted. However, I cannot get around the fact that all of the input I'm getting right now says, no, you know, breaking up with a dude would be perhaps premature. Let's see this. Let's go a little further with this. So I have to judge that. Yes, things actually will change in the short-term future, and in fact that they will change for the better. I do believe that you'll be able to actually get through to him somehow, and the tower reversed in the future. That implies actually a dying down of the tumult, sort of a reduction of hostility, so to speak. Are you following me, Kiara?
Uh-huh.
And so all of the testimonies I'm seeing here are combining to emphasize that there is some longevity left in this relationship and there is some mileage to be had out of it. Now, right. I don't want to get your hopes up unreasonably, okay? I don't want to lie to you about things, but I am just passing along what my guides and other methods and techniques are telling me about this situation.
Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm.
The nine of scepters in the future reversed, that indicates that the passion is going to start back for you and yours for him, but it's going to be wiser and more prudent this time. So I do believe that the second chance, or that the new chance you guys are going to get, that's going to be to correct past mistakes, and I think that's why it's important to hang in there for right now.
Okay, because it's like I don't see this lasting with the person that he's with right now.
No, it's not. What happens a lot of times, and I'm sure you know what I'm about to say is not news to you, but you know, sometimes people get a little claustrophobic in relationships. They start looking and they say, wow, I'm going to be dead one of these days, and there's a lot of love that I'll have to give and so many people in the world. You know what I'm saying? And at end of life, mm-hmm. it seems like they're just speeding to it, strapped to the nose of a missile. And so, you know, you get a little claustrophobic. You get a little scared, and that's responsible for a lot of idiotic male behavior, and it's responsible for a lot of bizarre female behavior too. So,
I'm
not again. I want to make myself abundantly clear here. Okay, I'm not putting my stamp of approval on the relationship. I'm not saying it's going to turn into a fairy tale situation. I'm not saying you're out of the woods with him. Okay, what I am saying is that there's still some gas left, and you know, let's not throw in the towel just yet. Okay.
Oh, I shouldn't just give up. Okay.
Not quite. No, ma'am. Not yet. The indications are quite clear to the contrary, okay?
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Oh, and I know this is very difficult for you to deal with, but I do believe that the process of healing is what's going to be valuable for your relationship with him. And so let's go through that process and just give him another chance. And, of course, you know, fool me once, shame on you, but fool me twice, shame on me. You know, it didn't work so well when George Bush said it, but it works better when I say it.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Well, Miss Kiara, I wish you the best of luck in the future, and I hope you'll come visit us at psychicaccess.com. You'll get a free reading for registering there, okay? Free 6-minute reading.
I always do. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Have a great night, Miss Kiara.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Stephen. Great reading.
Sure. Thank you.
The next reading is for you, Maureen, from Michigan.
Hello, Michigan. How are you?
Hi.
Hi, what's your name, please?
Lauren.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Lauren.
Okay, hi, and I'm Maureen. What can I help you with?
The question I have is, how can I get my 5-month-old father to open up to me and commit and stop like all the childish behavior?
Oh, so you're talking about a 5-year-old, you said?
No, my 5-month-old.
You're 5-month-old and you're I'm sorry. You're wanting to know how to open up your 5 month old to be able to have better.
No.
Okay. Question, yeah, I'm confused.
The question I had was, how do I get my 5 month old, his father, to open up
me? I got you. I'm sorry. I was like, okay, let me. I wish you could bottle that up and we'll market it if we can find out. I see. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. This is. You know, I do see him around. He's very aggressive. He's a very assertive. His energy is very assertive. He likes to do things his way or forget it. And as far as opening up, you can't change his person. You can't change his. You can't control him. There's no doubt about it. You know, what I do see is he. I see him around, but I see that he likes. How do I put this? He likes to be a little bit too overbearing or just too he can be enraged sometimes, but he doesn't blend and balance with you well when it comes to how you want to deal with your new baby. And I do feel that you do want a traditional and a relationship with him, and I do feel that it's possible, but still he's very is he open to listening to you at all about anything?
It depends on what it is that I'm talking about.
Okay, so it's really he runs the show. Well, right. My feeling is this: I am seeing that there will be some motivation. I see that it will be kind of getting out of a stagnation. You know, I do see that there's some trip or getaway coming up that looks like may be delayed. And do you see? Okay, I'm going to ask you this: have you two been out and about by yourselves since the baby came, or, since you're pregnant, anything about connecting just the two of you?
No.
I feel that would be very helpful, and for you two to kind of, because I just don't see you fusing and blending so well as a couple, which is normal when you want him to get part, being like a great father and everything, but I just feel that it's really important to if there was something that you had talked about going to do, like, and I just see putting it on hold, it would be very positive to not do that and take off, if you can, if you have someone like your mom or someone to watch your baby, to get just have a fast getaway just for one night. I feel that would be very helpful for the two of you. There is some stress around him, I do see. In addition, it's distracting him, but I just feel that, he has a strong personality, and I feel it's just about you two reblending together as a couple that would really be helpful for him stepping it up to be the better father and interacting with the baby.
If I was to sit down, like, for a couple of weeks where we didn't really, like, we kind of more so, like, separated, where we didn't really communicate as much, would he start to change somewhat?
You mean by having boundaries set would be the proper way, I feel, of saying such. Yes, that would definitely, because if he can come at you continuously and be very aggressive about this, how we are, being a control freak, if he's allowed to get away with that, sure. If you can really detach and you would have boundaries put in place, I feel that would be good. Like I said, you two were not confusing as a couple. That means you're not blending together very well. Now, if you would put a stop to him being able to come around and doing his little number, like I asked you if he talks, agrees with you or wants to do everything his way, and you said, well, depending. Well, yeah, that would definitely not... It would definitely help you, but by helping you, it would definitely help the relationship, because it would mean that he would not be able to do his thing like that anymore with you. But you'd really need to stand your ground and put your boundaries in place and be very strong, and I feel you could be very strong. But it is difficult to do that because you're changing up your whole dynamics that you've been going and go back and forth and doing for so long anyway. Are you capable? I feel that that's a very good thing that you brought up, and I agree that that would be very good if you're able to stand your ground. And really mean it.
I think about it all the time, but I'd be worried that if I do that, then it's gonna, I don't want it to be where keeps saying what he wants to see the baby, and I'm like, well, I don't want to be like I'm holding the baby hostage for him.
Oh, yeah, that's not a good thing to do that. But one thing is that is something you can do, just if you look at it this way, you're doing it because if his behavior is upsetting to the baby and you, or if his energy is such, that's a whole nother story. But if you're doing it like you said, you know what I mean? Like if he came into the picture overwhelmingly aggressive or coming in and the energy, the baby will feel it. You know, the baby will feel it. It's, you know, your baby can't communicate by words. But so it may be that if he, you put a boundary in, if he doesn't come into a situation where he's more calm or he's more as a team with you, you know, or as a couple, that's a different story. So you could probably look at it and turn it around like you're not holding the baby hostage. There must be a good reason why if you came into the space, it might be too overwhelming for the baby. Does that feel right? Hello? Are you there?
Oh, I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is, don't look at it as you're holding the baby hostage. Look at it as his energy needs to be more focused and he needs to be more respectable of you as well in order for him to be around the baby.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I say. I don't think you're a type of person with a hostage. You know, I do see his work situation is going to get better, and that will help things a lot better with his own person, his home, to get him in a higher vibrational self. I do see that coming on, which will be very helpful. Money or finance, something's going to be a lot easier for him coming up. That can cause a lot of people to be a little bit more easier to open up to, blend. But I need to move on, and I will hope I helped you. But, you know, I feel that you can handle this. You can handle what you need to do. He's worth it. He's worth it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And you can visit us at psychicaccess.com as well if you'd like a free 6-minute reading, okay? And thanks for calling. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Maureen. That was great. What a wonderful show. I really enjoyed the interview and really great readings as well. Who is going to be hosting next week's show?
That would be me.
Great, Stephen. What do you have planned for us?
Well, I have a gentleman from Britain, Ian Doherty, or perhaps more properly said, Ian Doherty, who is also a spiritualist. He uses his mediumistic abilities to create works of art. And next week we'll be talking about entering into the trance state and what that can be used for in terms of spiritual work. The trance state. We're going to focus on the trance state next
Love
week.
Trance. That sounds great.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Ian Doherty is a lovely human being, very personable, and he's got a lot to teach us next week, Steve.
Sounds really good, Stephen. We haven't had a show on trance for quite a long time, so that's a really good subject to have. And we will have Lisa Williams as well at some stage. We've had an email from Lisa Williams saying that she's going to join us, so we'll let you know when that show's going to be as well. Well, great stuff. I'm going to say good evening. I want to thank everybody for putting up with my cold. I managed to get a cold straight away this winter. But I want to thank you for joining us. As always, please do let your friends know about the show. We're back same time next week. You can join us in the chat room. Have a great weekend, and over to Maureen and then Carmen to say goodnight.
Night.
And you, Stephen.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Sweet dreams.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.